Mr. Brown, reel 4. We got to the point where you'd reached Stalag 8B, which is Lansdorf. And you've just got a diagram out of it.
Well, Lansdorf was a prison camp in the First War. So that'll tell you how organised it was. But it was the main camp. And you went from there on working parties to other camps.
And what was the accommodation like, the huts?
Well, the huts was good accommodation, but it was crowded when we got there. But we eventually got a bed, the bunks, two bunks, one up and one down. And then everything was regular, you got a grub regular. That first did not do.
So it was all right?
Yeah.
Did you get sent out on work camps?
Oh, yes. If you were a private, you had to.
And you were a private?
I was a private. So it's usually a sister.
And
if you had drank, you could volunteer. Well, lots of work volunteered with ranks. Because when they were like a sergeant, he kept his position as sergeant. And when he got to camp, he was in charge equal to his rank, you see, in the English army. So they did pretty well, and they kept it just the same.
And what working parties did you go on?
Well, we only went on one.
What were you doing?
Just labouring and things like that. I worked, we went to Blackhammer, which was an oil refinery. And to a shop, which was called a Bow. I worked in Bow 50, out of Shop 50. And the shop was responsible for you. You went there with a guard, and he left you in the morning, and that was it. So it was night time when you had to. So when you were there, lately, you more or less come under the civilians.
Now that's Stalag E3, E714.
Yes, it's Stalag E3. And Stalag 714 was my batch because we came from Italy.
Right, that's your batch number, yeah.
But E3 was the original camp. It started off in the war as E3.
And that's Blackhammer?
Blackhammer was the place where we worked. It was about half an hour.
Now, you went there from 7th of October till the 21st of January, from
yes.
So it's 1945, so 7th of October 43, so that was your real camp?
Yes.
And you were there?
Well, it was the main camp, where E3 and 714 was two camps in one. You went through E3 to get to 714, but all the control was under the one man, under the two camps. See what I mean?
Now, what was your working day like?
It was good. You should start about half past 7 till half past 5, and then march back to the barracks.
And what were you doing?
What working? Just labouring. Just working. Do what you have to do.
What sort of thing? This is at the oil refinery?
Yeah.
So what would they have you doing?
Just having the fitter, anything like that, or sweeping up, because we had a pretty good time there, because there might be, in the one shop, there might be a dozen blokes there. And the one, that was classed as the one job. And we'd have what they called it. Downstairs in the basement would have what they call a boody, which is a restroom. Well, say there's 12 blokes went in there, and one bloke would stay back in the restroom and just look after your gear and make the tea. Well, the other blokes, they did a bit extra, like they completed with that, right? So he's accepted that. Once he accepted it, he took it. Well, that was the life there. And he just worked with a fitter, just helped him. He said he wanted to do it.
Did you get on well with him?
Yeah.
Did you pick up any German?
Yeah.
But enough to get by with him?
Yeah. No, but the tour, we like, I mean, we're all stupid and won't respect the English, because there was a chance of a lifetime to learn German. But the Chinese was more keen to learn English, you see. So I worked for the theatre, the special theatre, you know, with German all. Look, there weren't, man. And he would say, Johnny, such as he would ask the equivalent, he wanted a hammer. He said, Johnny, that's his, but he would say it in German, you see. And I said, what do you want? And he would say it again, like, he said, come here, choose what you want. And then he would take this and he would find a hammer like, and he would say, that's what I want. Oh, a hammer. Oh, next time you want a hammer, ask for a hammer, and you'll get it. And they were keen to go learn English. So that's where we lost it in German. So you more or less had to pick it up to suit yourself.
So it was quite an easy day.
It was, yeah. And the bloke in the booty used to take your turn. You were there one day. You didn't know. Just look after the kid. It's unbelievable what we spoke like, but that's the way it was.
Anything else about, so that was your working day.
Yes. And
what about, I mean, was there any entertainment organised in that camp?
Yes. Oh. Because we were, like everybody who was in the same position, we were lucky. Because in the camp, we had about 5 nationalities.
This is Blackhammer?
Yes. The camp was where it, yeah. I mean, we had Canadians, we had Australians, other people. And we had talent from all over the world. Oh, we had. And the bloke in charge, the Sergeant Major in charge, was Sergeant Major Hobbs, out of Gloucester. You heard it? Surely you've heard about the Gloucester in Korea. Well, he was there. After this, he was took prisoner there, and he was 2 years, I think, on prisoner Chinese. But he was in charge of the camp, like, and everything, and entertainment. Well, he was a bandmaster in the Gloucester. So we had it. Concerts and everything. Everything you can imagine. We had a special time in '83.
It sounds like you enjoyed it.
Yes.
What was the food like?
Food was good, because when you were working part, you got the privilege of camp the parcels from the Stalag, you see. If there was a shortage of parcels, the working party got them first. Oh, we went partly 1 year without the parcel. We had well good. It's unbelievable, but it happened.
Was there any thought of escape? And if not, why not? I think it's fairly obvious.
Yes, but it was, I mean, we're in Poland. That was when I went to the working party in Poland.
Blackhammer.
Blackhammer, yeah. From '83.
So what were the...
That wasn't because there was a lot of SS about. I mean, we were only 30 miles from Auschwitz. And if the SS caught you, you were shot. There was no questions asked, you were shot straight away.
Did anybody try to escape?
Yeah, quite a few. There was one or two managed, but very few. One or two things, like, because if you got caught with the ordinary injuries, you had a chance to get away, but you got caught with SS, and told you to get cracking. And as soon as you start running, you shoot you. That's what happened to the SS.
Were you aware of Auschwitz, what was going on there at the time? Yeah, I know you know now.
Yes, I knew then. Because we used to, later on, when the Americans took Italy, in the Air Force, for the 5th Air Force of Group, they started to bomb the remaining oil fields.
Cloresty.
Yes. And later on, they started to bomb them and us at the same time in Blackhammer, the oil refinery. Because it was queer, because the Yankees they played a dirty trick on them, because they'd come out towards us, you see, and they would get inside the radius of the air alarm. And as soon as that happened, the works closed down. And when it first started, it was smashing for us, because as soon as it closed down, we opened the gates and we used to out into the woods. Only when the air raid finished, we said, "Oh, I haven't gone back yet." So we just used to have to drone and come back into a later for that job. So, well, later on, when it went, when the air alarm went, they stopped work. Everybody stopped work and we should have done the cellars. Well, I might, some of the factories had two cellars in the country, about five walls, four or five and six, so we had no problem. So it was as good as the media cellar. We used to just go downstairs till it finished. But what happened, the Yanks used to come within the radius, maybe 100 miles. And when they come within that 100 miles, all the work stopped in our factory. And then we'd turn right and down to Romania. We'd bomb them, and it would be away maybe some 3 hours. Well, it would be the worst time. Both people would get back to work. We'd just get back to work, and we'd 4 o'clock, or 4:30. The Yanks used to come back on the way back and bomb us.
And we were saying about Auschwitz, how you knew about that.
Well, wait a minute. Because after, when they were bombing us, you see, with it being an oil refinery, there was one road in and one road out. Like the raw crude oil used to come in underneath the road, and then it used to be refined and gone out over the gantry about 25 to 30 foot up. Right. Well, what they actually did is bomb the roads. Well, all the pipes, and the pipes was about 3 foot. Why? They used to bomb the roads very well, obviously. Well, that went the system out. So we used to get on working parties to take them out and put them in. But that was called accord. That was peace work. You had a volunteer for that if you wanted it. But we did that. And sometimes we would get it, maybe 2 or 3 Jews with us for the Nicaragua. And we used to tell us in the morning, when we used to go to the factory, a good office, and the bloke that spoke the most German, he went in like for the orders, and they would give them the paper, and I'd tell them where to go, what they want to do, and he'd come back and tell us when the raid gets started. Well, we used to make gangs of about 7 or 8, and we'd pick your mates like that, you know, that they'd draft. And we'll go and we'll get split in, and sometimes, as I said, we might get 3 Jews to come on the same job and they work with us. And we used to dig the old place up, pull them up, and put new ones in. When we put them in, finish it off, the guard would come and inspect it, and he'd say, "Right, oh, you'd say in that city, and it would look out, it was in charge." He would take it back to the office. And that was it. And that was one thing, when you were on peace work, when you did the job, you never got more on. When you couldn't get out the factory till 1 o'clock. That is when they got enough people who wanted to go out, it was finished, so they let them out. But where you say, Maurice, you'll get stuck in, you get your mates in your old truck, and I've seen us have the job done at 9:30. We started 7 o'clock.
So that's where you meet the Jews, and they told you about...
Yeah, we used to get them working with us in Now, this one time we'd come across, we'd just told them. And we'd say, hey, we're such and such, because we used to give them nicknames, you know, we never bothered with our own names. We used to give them a nickname among ourselves, right? And we'd say, hey, we're such and such. We'd say, oh, he's apparently sick. Oh, all right. Well, 3 days' time, we'd say, hey, is such and such still sick? Man, he's gone for it, he's gone away. And I didn't know later, I had a book, I had a TV packet. Funny that the last next door, she's Polish, and she lived about 50 miles from where I worked. I had a book from her, and it was all about it. Like, well, I knew all about it, I didn't read a book like.
Now, anything else about your time there? Because you were there a long time, anything?
Yes. Well, we had a good time. Because we just did our work, and that was, we sat aside then. No. You know, on a Sunday, we used to work one Sunday. We used to get one Sunday off at 3. And then on a Sunday, we used to go down there. We got a field and they got gold purse. He said, I'm doing it. What's a football match?
Anything else about your time at Blackhammer?
Ah, but you better not put on there.
What's that?
Well, we should go to the football match on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Right. 2 o'clock. Luke's doing here, Luke's doing here, Luke's doing here. And when it had been going, it was alongside the woods, you know. And when it had been going about half an hour, you could count how many blokes was there on 2 hands. The girls, it was only about 2 miles from where we worked. And the girls from the brothels that supplied the works used to come there. So that was the afternoon.
Now, how long were you, anything else about your time there before, because eventually the Russians came near, didn't they?
Yeah, but that was the finish.
Anything else before that?
No, it was just normal, you just went to work and we had enough grub, we had parcels, we had enough entertainment, we had a good time. In fact, the best time I've ever had, sort of time. But you are still under orders. You did what you told, and that was it. Yeah.
Now, what about the approach of the Russians? How could you tell they were getting near?
When the bombs start coming over, when the shells start coming over.
Shells, as opposed to bombs?
Shells, yeah. They were bombing. They were shelling the camp.
And what happened then?
And then we spoke up on the morning. And they told us to take all our kit, we were going to shift. We had to go and get out. And before we got organised, the shells was coming up over the camp. But we were all lucky because the camp was on a canal, a big canal that went under the Oder. Well, the main road was on the right hand side, and the camp was on the left. We had the canal in between. So and me, worry in one respect as regards the Russians. If they come down, they come down on that side. And we had a canal, and it was a big canal. It was like what the town is, whatever. It was quite a big canal. So they do that to the Slovak corner.
So this is.
So they just ordered us to get right here and get ready to move.
And that's 21st of 1st, 1945.
21st of January. And it was 19 degrees below, and it was a foot of snow.
Was it like in that sort of cold?
You just get used with it. It's normal. We have plenty here. In fact, it just showed you, it just gives you an idea. They said, take everything that you want. Well, we were looking in one respect, we were in one respect, we weren't in the other. Because previous to that, previous to moving, the Yanks had bombed a canal up the canal, locks up the canal. There was about five locks at a place called Elm Force, and there was five locks and they bombed them. Well, one bomber got out of the position and he dropped the bomb and then dropped another camp, next camp. We had two camps together. One was what they called the Labour camp, but they come under the German army, not the same as us. They could go anywhere the army wanted them. They were a different commando altogether. And they dropped the bomb on them and killed 30. That was the only time that was anybody.
So what about the move off then, on the first day of the march?
Well, shortly after that, they moved off, and they just said, take what you want to take, take as much as you can. And, well, when they bombed the camp, funny, out of our door, the camp's faceless, the hut's faceless, when we come out, I was in when they bombed it, me and the blood from Shields, we were under the bed when we were bombing it. And then they were going like, when they come out, the hoods on the other side were missing. So, about 2 days after that, we got the one on the move like, so it was all well. And the gear that we had, you couldn't carry it, so it was in. Well, there was a foot of snow, so we would make a sledge. So
what gear were you carrying though? I thought you.
What? Clues and grub. Everything that we had, because we had enough of everything.
You'd built up this stuff, yes, during your time there?
Yes.
So you built a sledge?
We made a sledge, got the timber from the across the road out the houses, like, and just built a sledge, like, two runners and knocked it up, and that was it. And we parceled all my gear on, there was a parcel. We are out getting parcels shortly and we away. Well, that went on our way. We managed to sledge it, so we were throwing. But when it throws, it couldn't, but we're getting short of stuff then, you see, because we're using stuff like them. We went holding stuff away then.
Now, this march went on for the best part of a month, didn't it?
Yes.
500 kilometres in all. Look, usually 20 to 25 kilometres a day. I mean, what was it like?
What was that? What was it like? We just did it, everybody did it, and that was it. It was just classic normal. It was a good journey of getting away from the Russians. Because the Russians cut us off the first night, and that's why we had to go back. But later on,
Yeah. Well, I mean, were you worried about the Russians?
No.
I mean, they were the Allies. I mean, the Germans were the ones worried, I presume.
We are more worried about the Russians for all our allies than ours, because we knew their reputation and it didn't matter.
So you didn't trust them?
No. We had blokes that was left, that hid, and the Russians took them. And when the Russians took them, they wouldn't be bothered with them. They were left. A mate of mine, my battalion, he was left. And it took him 6 months to get the Odessa from Germany, from Poland. That was the staging camp where they were brought out of. And then he lived about 2 years after the war. And that was just for that.
Now, what do you remember of these? The series of marches, long marches.
Just remember the marches, you stopped every 10 minutes for every hour.
10 minutes every hour?
Aye, yeah. You watched 50 minutes.
Same as the British Army?
Yeah, same. It was the German Army. You just transferred.
And any special incidents you remember?
Well, just the bloke. The bloke that got shot.
Tell me, that wasn't on the tape. Tell me how it happened on the tape.
Well, it can go on any general, I'll just tell you now. Well, the last stop we had on this march this day was about 5 o'clock. And when we stopped, one in front of me, well, about 20 foot in front of us, as soon as we stopped, he just left the ranks and sat down on the other side of the road. And he sat there the time it was stopped. But before the time finished, the guard that was closing the gap up came up and told him to get up. And he turned that door. And the guard shot him. And I mean, it was true because it was the last stop, and half an hour's time we were in barns. They used to get put in the barn every night. They fisted in the barn. Barns full of hay and straw. No bother with getting a bed.
How tired were you? It's a lot of walking.
No, we weren't actually that tired. We just knew when that was the... When you finished walking, you went in the barn, and that was it. And when you were there about 2 hours, well, it was only 8 o'clock, or 2 or 3 hours, you'd come with a cup of soup. That was it. And the next morning, you had a cup of coffee. That was it. Right. But they hadn't anything. The good thing about the guards, they had the same as what we got. If they didn't have it, we didn't have it. That's what they want. But the bloke should never, he said, all he had to do was get up. He asked for it and he got it. So it was England. And yet, after we, when we got to the last camp where we leave the General Patton's lot.
Now you're marching in all 500 kilometres, another 275, all the way, you were marching right through into March. I hadn't seen the second page of your notes.
No.
And you were marching on and on. At one point you were working on salvage and the town was heavily bombed.
Oh, that was a camp that was there for the day then. I'm not sure whether it was Dresden or not, or wrong Dresden, maybe. That being bombed before we got there. Or just when we got there. Then we spent time down to get people out and things like that.
What state was it in?
It was pretty bad.
And what's
weren't there very long.
What's the next thing you remember then? What about when you were actually relieved? What's your memory of that?
Well, that was the finish of this, isn't it? On the 29th of the 4th, we were released by General Patton. General Patton. And, I mean, when we were released, he just left us.
Who left you?
The Yanks. Then our own people took back control. And shortly after that, it came up that we're going to take so many, in fact, that there was 200 to be took. From there, to go to an airfield, and they were going to be took from there to Brussels, and they were going to be picked up by Lancasters that had come back from home. And I happened to be one of those. We went through this. When we got orders to move, we went to this place where the airfield was,